Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly. Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hey, Adam. I was just reaching out just to see if you've noticed how NPR has changed the pronunciation of harassment. It's now harassment. And they also had a whole episode on educating people on how to tell, how to look for signs that they've been harassed, which I feel, I feel that's very subjective. So I just wondered if you noticed that. See you on the cruise.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
All right, that kind of talk is divisive, so yeah. We really need to stop divisive. It right now. Douchebag blowhards have to fucking change pronunciation for everything so they can prove they're smarter than we all are.
Douchebag.
Fuck all you assholes. Yeah. I don't care if it's a country we're fighting in or divisive. I don't even like the a generous grant from the Carnegie Foundation. It's Carnegie. Fucking Carnegie. Now knock it off and move on to something else. David Arquette, Matthew Cook are here. Sorry.
Yeah, well,
that kind of stuff pisses me off. Survivor's Guide to Prison. Very compelling new doc, and you can check it out. You can see it. It's a VOD, and it's in select theaters, yes?
Yeah, and it's on iTunes and Amazon
right now. Digital. Google Play.
Yep.
Matthew was Academy Award nominated documentarian, which is Deliver Us from Evil 2006. And, of course, David Arquette. We all know David Arquette. Good to see you guys.
Yeah.
Nice to be here.
Not Oscar nominated David Arquette.
Yet.
Thank you.
Screen three, I think, got some favorable notices. Be careful. Let's check into that. This is a subject that should be near and dear to everybody's heart, regardless of what their politics are, is just throwing tons of money away, incarcerating people. The fact that it's a scary thing because everything turns into a business.
Yeah,
the military turns into a business. The prison system turns into a business. The government turns into a business. As I'll look no further than every single night on the news and everything out of Russia and every campaign with millions and millions. Like, everything just turns into a business. And once it turns into a business, look out.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, it's just a rolling, unstoppable snowball that's just capturing everything in its way. I mean, we've got the prison lobby. We've got private prisons. People always ask us, do you cover the private prisons? Do you cover the private prisons? We do. But the whole thing, it doesn't matter if it's private or not. The public industry is all run by money, too. You're 100% right.
And any time you can – so this is this big monster that just devours souls and money. And that will stop if it favors the politicians. But if the politicians just go, I'm tough on crime, and then they walk off the podium and they let the monster off the leash and continue, that's how it continues to grow, right? Yeah. I mean, the military and the prisons are sort of the same thing, which is I stand for a tough military. Like, everyone claps. I'm tough on crime. Everyone claps. So you're never going to get politicians to get into it.
Yeah, well, and the truth is it's not tough on crime at all because it doesn't heal the victims of crime. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make streets safer. It doesn't turn, quote-unquote, criminals into well-meaning, well-abiding, law-abiding citizens. It's not tough on anything. It's tough on our pocketbooks, and it's tough on the families who have their loved ones ripped away from them for 20, 30 years for quote-unquote, crimes that they shouldn't be put away for that long for.
First off, what got you guys involved with this?
I know. Why is David Arquette in this conversation?
Yeah.
Jeez. I'm just surprised I'm not in jail, much less. No, I've been a fan of Matthews for years. Our dads were friends. We've been friends forever. I'm just love his take on sort of whatever subject he does. He breaks it down in a way that it's really understandable, and it's such a complex, dark subject. He showed us an early cut, and me and my wife, Christina, came on board, and he was gracious enough to have us come on board, and we just saw that there was a need to help him finish it, to get this message out there. And
yeah, if this was a relay race, I would have been dehydrated face first on the ground and just dying, and David and Christina just came in at the last minute and brought it home. Couldn't have done it without him.
I'll tease it a little and just ask you, what would be two or three just common sense things we could do to try to right the ship a little? First, I'll tell you about our sponsors for this half of the program, Beachbody. You can text Adam to 303030, set up your free account, trial membership, and, of course, Geico. Go to geico.com, save 15% on your car insurance. What is it?
I love that Geico. Basic. I love that Geico gecko. I mean,
he's a cool cat.
I'm sorry. I didn't want to. I know we're on a different subject, but that guy is so. He just keeps.
Keeps ringing the entertainment.
Yeah, okay.
What are a couple? You know, I hear about the prison guards. I hear about how corrupt their union is. I hear look no further than everyone getting whatever they want in prison, like contraband and drugs and sex right. changes and everything like that. It's like they're in prison. How's all this stuff coming in? All the cell phones, cocaine, and estrogen shots.
Because we just moved them from one place to another. We moved them behind a wall
and concentrated
and put a fence around it. But we didn't actually change anything.
If you there's a couple. Oh, sorry, but here's an interesting thing too. A lot. So what goes on, you want to talk about like sort of the unintended consequences. You take a lot of brown and black people, you put them behind bars, they break off into gangs. The brown people and the black people sort of learn to hate each other. And then at some point, the guys are running the gangs like from inside the joint, and the brown people get the word out, kill the black people. Just go out to Compton or your neighborhood or whatever, you see a black guy, put a target, not a black gang member, just someone black. Like it creates this crazy. There's nothing more racist than prison, right?
Yeah, they're encouraged, and even the prison guards oftentimes encourage people to split into their race. We have a white, quote-unquote, drug dealer who was barely a drug dealer. He was a guy who kind of fried, did acid on the weekends, and he was prosecuted for trafficking because our drug laws are so insane. And he says it. He was like, you know, here we are, this melting pot society. If you weren't a racist before prison, they make you one when you go in.
Well, right. And the reasoning he said too is because if all of a sudden everybody got along and were best friends, they'd be harder to control.
Absolutely.
Such an interesting theory.
So what's some just common sense changes that could be made to the current system?
Well, the first thing is to stop thinking of prison as the answer to all problems in society. Someone does something wrong. Oh, lock them up, put them in a cage. I mean, if someone, first of all, there's two tiered justice system in this country. You got bankers, you know, screwing us over all over the place. Exxon does a giant oil spill and destroys, you know, half the ocean. And none of these guys, you know, we're not thinking, oh, we'll put them in a cage and that'll solve the problem. Someone else will just come up and there'll be another oil spill. So number one is to stop thinking of prison as the answer to solving all conflict in our society. Maybe something a little bit simpler is drugs, the drug war. We need to just eliminate that as a concept. If you're an addict, or if you're so economically challenged that you're willing to spend 5 to 10 years in prison for $5 of crack or cocaine, the answer is not throw you inside of a cage. There's another solution there.
Well, I think the dad has come in and the experiment hasn't worked in terms of the prohibition part. Like, it's just people admit it all day, every day, where they go like, well, what about all these Mexican drug lords bringing this stuff in? And it's like, well, as long as there's demand, it's going to keep coming and there's nothing we can do. And again, look no further than prison. If you can get drugs in prison, then how can you stop drugs? And you can't is the answer. And I don't know why, you know, we did prohibition, obviously, with alcohol, and that people made bathtub gin and it didn't work out. So we should have got a pretty good blueprint for how this doesn't work. It creates Al Capone in an underground society in the mafia, but it doesn't really do anything other than get Pablo Escobar more motorcycles to go riding around the hillsides. And up evidently his number one sport was soccer and taking his shirt off and riding enduros around the hills. So it doesn't work. Appealing. So let's just now.
Well, to Matthew's earlier point, if you're somehow against that, or if you're against for drug reform, you paint ourselves into a corner now because then you're soft on drugs.
But also, it's hard to answer quickly in a soundbite how to cure addiction. So if you have a soundbite answer,
give me a call. If you have a soundbite answer, I really need to know. I need to know at this point.
At Adam Carolla Show on Twitter.
Yeah, but I mean, it's so much easier to just say we're tough on crime.
I know, and I think, you know, it's easy to blame the politicians, so I'm going to just do that. They, you know, it's funny. I just had a guy from the mayor's office in here and a couple days ago, and I was yelling at him about trash everywhere in this town and homeless everywhere in this town and traffic everywhere in this town. What's going on? And I yelled, like, what's the mayor doing about it? And he went, he's putting together an exploratory committee to run for president. And I said, yeah, but what about the trash? And what about the graffiti? And what about the homeless? And what about the traffic? And he's like, he's working more on this other thing that doesn't involve this stuff we're talking about. Yeah. And I thought, okay, that's how politicians roll. They're not. Yeah.
But don't you think that if the rest of us were so excited about cleaning up the trash, that they would care too? I mean, the very first drug laws were targeted right at particular races. Opium laws were targeted at the Chinese. Marijuana laws were targeted at Mexicans. I mean, there was a headline, I can't remember what paper was at the turn of the century, and it said, marijuana is giving Mexicans superhuman strength. And the politicians ran with that, doping. You know, creating these laws against marijuana, against opium, against cocaine, specifically targeted at black people. And their they got a constituency from that.
So it's not just marijuana does give me superhuman strength. Yeah. It does. I mean,
well, that's
the right kind. The right kind. It's it's sativa or
a sativa dominant hybrid. Does. Yeah.
First, David was napping. Now he's power napping, which is a totally different endeavor. So another thing I want to try to impress upon the government is the drug dealers in my sort of quest to exalt the virtues of private enterprise, they're always going to be out ahead of you. So when you find out that California is going to legalize marijuana, they're already hard at work working on heroin and speed and other things, not marijuana, because they're the ultimate business people. They have to outwork, out hustle, and out everyone, everything all the time. So the notion of we're going to get some federal employees and we're going to give them badges, we're going to station them here and there, they're always going to get beat submarines. Like, whenever you hear any stories about drug dealers and cartels, it's diabolical and sort of ingenious how they figured out how to smuggle the stuff. And when this avenue got shut off, they started going another avenue because that's their job. Like, their job is to, they never sleep. They don't take weekends off. You guys get like paid vacations and maternity leave and stuff like that. They don't get that. So you're never really going to beat them.
No, the demand 100% drives it. It's like a game of whack-a-mole where you're never going to stop it. So you have to address the demand. You can't not address it on the supply side. And dealing with the demand would mean that we actually are giving a shit about the people who are overdosing on drugs. The majority of people who use drugs aren't abusing them. There's a minority of people and they're the addicts and they consume the majority of drugs. So if we really care about those people, let's focus on them. We could.
Well, they talked about dropping.
People are dying like crazy.
Drew, nowadays. Every time I talk to Drew, he never stops talking about it.
It's an epidemic. Like, literally our lifespan is dropping. American lifespan is
it is lower. Is maybe on a happy note?
Okay,
perhaps.
Oh, on a happy note, I love the idea of. Sorry, I don't. To me, it's just it's totally off topic and
okay.
kind of wrong.
More Geico talk.
People are still smuggling Mexican weed in here.
Yeah.
And we got this crazy weed, but they still have the like, Brixton brown weed.
You know what I think that
is? What is that?
I think that's like in those movies, like on Gilligan's Island when they had the Japanese soldier and he thought the war was still on. He never found it. It was 1971 and he's still swinging a sword around.
I know one dude who loves smoking that brown weed and he's like, I can't even smoke this stuff. I got to find this.
No Humboldt County.
Dude, so, I like seeds. I don't know.
On a possible happy note.
Sorry.
That's all right. The
happy notes.
That was happy. That maybe, you know, they were talking about, oh, pot's a stepping stone drug. Well, maybe it's a stepping stone drug to legalization. Maybe it's legal, gets legalized here, Colorado, wherever else, everywhere else, eventually. And then we live with that for a little bit. We went, all right, we made the cartels kajillions of dollars by having this illegal, and we always claim it was reefer madness and it'd be doom and gloom. And now we've regulated it, we've taxed it, we've controlled it. Seems to be okay. Maybe we can move on to the next drug.
That's true. I mean, that is a happy note. If I could just bring it back down to the sad note again.
Well, yeah, it was a whole 4 seconds.
We've lived in just the happy note. Just to balance us back into the sad darkness.
Yes.
We've already invested so much money in creating the infrastructure behind these cartels. They can just move on to the next thing.
Yeah. Oh, they will. But I hope maybe this is a step. I mean, I'll treat it like... gay marriage and all things in that community, including, you know, transgender, this and everything that. Few years ago, not long ago, even your Obamas and your Clintons and stuff were like, no, no gay marriage. No, that's not right. That can't happen. Yeah. This is America. And now everyone's kind of like, all right, gay marriage and all yes. the think about the transgender stuff. Like, it's kind of a baby step thing. We can't jump right.
It was a tipping point.
We can't go right to Bruce Jenner's getting his junk cut off. Like, we can't jump there. We have to start with a little bit of, hey, you know that couple down the street? They want to get married, too. Why wouldn't that be wrong?
No joke. Bruce Jenner getting his junk cut off and that, like, being that much of a, like, kind of adjustment, chiropractic adjustment to society. We're like, oh, whoa, this is happening now.
But maybe the pot is that sort of first lesbian couple that's getting married on the steps of the courthouse in San Francisco, and we'll move on to hopefully these other things. Because the mass incarceration thing is just, it just scares me. And it's also the amount of money we spend. It's insane.
And it just doesn't work. 80% of people who go into prison, into state prison, which is where the majority of inmates go, return. They come back. So it's an 80% failure rate. Any product or service that had an 80% failure rate, nobody would buy, but we are continuing to buy it.
Sorry, you got to stifle yourself, Gina right. Grab, because I promise we work so hard. But one of my favorite love line moments is when we were talking about David Arquette, how crazy he was. And, he stormed in on us. Now, it's kind of nice because it was Catherine Keener, Orson Bean, and Spike Jones. And
Being John Malkovich?
Being John Malkovich is what they were in talking about, which was a very enjoyable movie.
Awesome movie. Yeah.
And very in theme with me.
And that got into Sundance.
And we were talking about that, and David Arquette's name came up, and then the following happened. So do you have it?
This is from November of 99, and this is you guys asking Catherine Keener if John Malkovich is crazy.
Okay.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, when there's trouble, they look for John Malkovich.
Now, all right. He's probably as normal as he is. Crazy.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, crazy doesn't necessarily mean you're bad or mean. Right. It just means crazy. So.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, so he could just be crazy. Yeah. But a nice guy.
Yeah.
And you know what I can't figure out about crazy guys, though? We always ask this about David Arquette, because he's been on the show a bunch of times.
Crazy. And we love David.
He's crazy. Yeah, he's the nicest guy in the world, but he's nuts. And he's talented, but he's nuts. Yeah. And I always wonder, after speaking with him, how he shows up on the set, memorizes his lines, does does his scene. And
plays a security guard.
Plays a small town sheriff. Yeah. Comes back the next day. Finishes the movie. You know, how does he do it? And when you talk to him, you wonder if the guy can find the toilet in the 4 minutes that we have for the commercial here.
I really hope that he doesn't just take this.
No, he knows the way I mean this.
I really like the
He's nuts. What's he going to do with this information? He can't find the studio. No, where's car keys?
It's like
are.
Pat Buchanan said about Hitler. He's not such a bad person.
Right. Oh. All right. That's what I mean. Kathy.
Hi. So, you saw so Drew said, "What you know? What if he comes here?" And I said, "He's nuts. He can't find the studio." And then a few moments later,
so yeah, this is
literally, I was on the 10
few moments
freeway.
Later.
Those things aren't cheap, are they?
No, they're like $14, $15, $16.
Jesus!
I think as her penance, she should be forced to call Dr. Laura and listen to her.
Yeah, that's painful.
Orson Bean.
She'll straighten you out. Do what she says, not as she does.
Oh,
Jesus Christ! This is the worst.
What the hell?
This is the worst day of my life.
He walked through the door,
and he's been working out. Drew, hold him down with a chair, would you? Jesus Christ!
You better be happy, my
brother. Oh, David Arquette has just walked in.
What the hell is he saying?
David Arquette has just walked into the studio.
Listen, tough guy.
This is horrible. This is the worst day of my life.
I called you on your bluff.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
All right.
David, you were coming from a Lakers game,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I was coming from a Lakers game. I'm on the 10. You guys are in Culver City. I know exactly where it is. I literally was there within 5 minutes. I snuck into this highly secure place without the security guard, like, notifying you. So I got right in.
So for people who don't know the lay of the land, he's heading back from the, I guess at the Forum at the time, maybe the Staples Center.
I think it was
the
just
hadn't
at
opened
the,
yet.
No.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, no, right.
I was just at the beginning. Yeah.
Downtown to the west side.
And he's taking the 10, and the 10 would go right past our studio, and he's listening in the car and just told the driver to pull over.
Yeah.
That's exactly.
That's so good.
And it's kind of a hard place to find. Like for some reason, it's a little like there's these weird streets right there in Culver City. But
and there
I
was
found
no
it.
Billboard that said like Westwood One.
No,
it
was unmarked.
No, but that was funny. And I actually talked to Spike Jonze about that. He had no recollection of it.
Aww.
I was like, "Are you kidding?" That was like one of the high points of my life.
That was really. Well, you could hear it, but you sort of had to be there because it was dumbfounding to me. It was weird.
That
to talk
was my
about.
Favorite part. You were like, "This is the worst day of my life." That somebody finally busted you for all the talk, all the trash that's been spilled.
Call
the mayor. Let's do something about this.
I have this thing that helps me speak freely, which is you can't picture the person you're talking about listening, or you can't speak freely.
Yeah.
So if you, I say it's no different than you going out to dinner and sitting across the table from a friend and talking. And if you're talking about another friend and that person's sitting at a table right next to you,
right.
The dialogue is dramatically altered.
Absolutely.
Great guy.
But you should. And if you'd like to get your unfettered sort of vetted thoughts about what you think, then you have to imagine that nobody outside of this table will ever hear this conversation. Unfortunately, it doesn't work that way in radio, but I always kind of approached it that way.
That's good. I like it. It's worked.
Evidently.
Number one podcast.
There you
Guinness
go.
Book of World Records, guys.
All right. I'll tell you what we'll do. I'll tell you guys about Beachbody On Demand. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll do some news. And we'll talk a little more. Online fitness streaming service. Unlimited access to a variety of effective world-class workouts personalized to your needs. Plus nutritional content. Convenient. Accessible. Use it on your computer. Web-enabled TV. Tablet. Smartphone. Anything you like. Any web-enabled device. No need to go to the gym. Annual subscription is cheaper than a gym membership. Programs for any level of fitness, cardio, weight training, yoga, low impact, even dance. Over 600 different workouts. So right now, my listeners get a free trial membership when you text the word Adam to 30, 30, 30. That's right. 3 30s. 30, 30, 30. That's full access, all the workouts, all the nutrition you want, all the information you need, free. Just text the word Adam to 30, 30, 30 and try your free Beachbody on-demand workout. Again, 600 different workouts. All right. Quick break. We'll come back and do the news right after this.
Adam Carolla is bringing his New York Times bestseller, Not Taco Bell Material, back to the stage this winter.
The reason the book is called and the show is called Not Taco Bell Material is because I attempted to get a job at the Taco Bell in North Hollywood that was by my house, and they said, thanks, but no thanks.
Friday night.
We're looking for a slightly higher caliber of retard.
Adam Carolla, Not Taco Bell Material. Friday night at Thunder Valley Casino and Resort outside Sacramento.
Now I'm out on my own, and I've moved on to the fast-paced, lucrative world of carpet cleaning.
Not Taco Bell Material.
Where a high school diploma will only slow you down, people.
Adam Carolla, Not Taco Bell Material. Friday night. Get your tickets now at adamcarolla.com.
Engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral, all those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Need news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, USA Today reports that after taking heat from Broward County Sheriff Scott Israel and President Trump, a lawyer from Broward County Deputy Scott Peterson released a statement Monday saying his client has been unfairly portrayed as a coward for his actions during the recent Florida high school shooting. We
the
talked about
sheriff?
This the other day. Yeah, Sheriff Scott Israel and President Trump were kind of bagging on him about it. And
there's two things. There's the Scott Peterson guy.
Peterson with one Scott with one T, Peterson.
Peterson.
Just so we're not confused.
Not
with
the guy in San Quentin.
Other Scott Peterson.
And then there's this guy, Israel, who's weird because he's kind of brash about
defiant.
Doing a horrible job, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of a, he has a weird thing, which is like, hey, I did the best job I could do. I know he's like, he speaks in these weird sound bites. And in the past as well, but there's been other stuff where he's explaining, like, he's taking care of business and all this kind of stuff, but he's not taking care of business.
Yeah.
I think this guy has a bit of a personality disorder. I'm just saying, when there's 17 people dead and your deputies were back and forth to the shooter's home 23 times, let their bravado dip down a little bit and go ahead and take your hat off and put it in your hands and
a little humble.
Strike that up.
Yeah, even if you, as the sheriff, did the best you could do, there's still 17 dead kids. Yeah. And it's like, I wish we could have done more.
Get out of posing with a huge marlin on a dock mode. Like, you know, set the beer down and don't have the big smile and
Get into a little more.
At least fake it until all the kids are buried, I guess. But the lawyer for whom?
Well, so the lawyer for Scott Peterson, he released a statement. And, of course, this is what we're talking about. He was heavily criticized, for being a coward, for not running into the school during the shooting. And on February 14th, 17 students and staffers were killed, more than a dozen injured. Peterson's lawyer stated that Peterson thought the shooting was happening outside the school, and he followed the protocol for such circumstances that include getting into a tactical position outside the building. So that is the latest defense.
Is the tactical position and the fetal position the same?
Yes. Cowering in the bushes.
Inside a dumpster.
Yeah.
I was getting into this with Dr. Drew a little bit, and so I don't want to pile on or rush to judgment. Like, I would like to see the layout where he was, if his vision was obscured. Like, I don't want to just pile on, but I will say this: In life, there's things you want to do and things you don't want to do. And going into a building with a guy with an AR-15 falls under the heading of things you don't want to do.
Right, of course, no matter what.
Training or not, whatever you swore allegiance to or your oath, as a human on a molecular level, like with our reptilian brain,
goes against our instinct.
Our brain doesn't care about the uniform or the badge or even sometimes the training. It's really like, I don't want to go into the place that has that. Right. All cops have that, or almost all cops have that, because they will surround a building and then send the robot in and all the, there's plenty of time for backup for most cops. So now here's the thing. None of us want to go into a building with a crazed guy in an AR-15. Now here's the question then. Is there a good or good enough reason we didn't do it? Now, if it turns out he's sitting at the end of the building looking through a window at a guy massacring students, that's not good enough. If he gets a radio report that says there's multiple gunmen, they're around the campus or whatever it is, then that might be good enough. Right. Either way, we know what the truth is. The truth is he didn't want to go in. If he thought the firing was going on outside the building and he wanted cover, he'd go inside the building.
Right.
And I think he could ascertain where those shots were coming from by simply hearing the shots coming from inside of the building. But it's not, did he want to go in the building? He did not want to go into the building. The guy who wanted to protect people is like the football coach. Right. Yeah. That guy had that impulse. The other one is, does he have a good enough excuse they didn't go inside the building? So far we're hearing like, well, the reports that there are other gun people, but I'll wait and hear it, but I'd like to see what it looked like and what the report said. I'm guessing it doesn't bode well for him, but it brings up an interesting point, which is cops are definitely humans, and cops don't want to turn themselves into martyrs or human shields or anything any more than my wife wants to. As a human, we think, oh, well, there's a training. That training is elite level Navy SEAL Team 6 shit. Right. That ain't this stuff. That isn't local Dade County Sheriff shit. That ain't that. So this notion of, hey, if we have an armed security guard over here and then another armed security guard like in the back of the school, that's fine. But you're presuming those guys are going to come rushing, running toward danger and throwing their lives online. Evidently, they're not.
Right.
I think they don't.
There are a lot of those hero cops. And I mean, 9/11 is a great example of those guys did run right into it.
I think it's an individual basis version of this. Well, those are firemen and
a bunch of police as well.
I think there's sort of a difference between going into a burning building and going into a hallway where shots are flying. I just feel like we all have a wiring that might go into that burning building, but definitely we're going to stutter step before the bullets.
Well, there's also a difference between a fire and a nuclear explosion. And if you've got a fight, then of course the security guards are going to run in and try to stop it. But if you got somebody with an automatic weapon that's built for war, you need a stronger force to confront that.
Yeah, well, I'm just thinking about like this thing of like, we need armed guards, we need armed security, we need more arm. Whether it's the mall,
we need GPS on the guns, GPS on all guns,
chip them up. Well, a lot now. Some of the schools are for every 1,000 kids, they're adding an armed security guard. So I think, for instance, this school is over 3,000 kids. It's going to have 3 armed security guards, but we don't know yet what difference that will make. But I think that's a new proclamation by a lot of these schools.
Well, I want to do some testing, and I think I'll do a simple test this way. I'll line up all the new recruits. It's an interesting wiring. You guys know it in yourself, and you know it with other people. Line everyone up, and I pull up a VW bus behind these recruits, and I do a move where I hit the gas, and I let out the clutch, and then I drop it back in gear. Huge backfire. Anybody who does the jump move, you're out. I don't need you. I don't need that kind of wiring.
That's a high bar.
I don't need that. It's all instinct.
There's nothing you can train
for. Well, we're looking for the best of the best.
So you want the guy that just spins around and shoots.
Semi-sociopathic.
Right in the head.
Or just stands there, doesn't blink.
So deaf guys.
I want that guy. I'm that guy. I don't jump when when this stuff, but it's a wiring. Yeah. It's a hard
And then
it's
they
a hard
also
wiring.
Have to be teachers. And then we're going to arm them.
Well, my thing is I don't want them teaching phys ed because I feel like when I was in junior high, Mr. Walters and Mr. Saponzi and Mr. Hensley would have shot me and my friend Ray, like just for the hell of it.
Mrs.
Like,
Lubner would have got me too.
I mean, it's Mr. Saponzi. Mr. Hensley was already, I already saw him get Mike Reese in a headlock and start screaming at him. Like if it's he had a pistol on him, he would have definitely whipped him with it. Like Mr. Walters would have shot many of his own students.
Just a message.
He would yell, like, he'd be like, hey, donkey, get back to the corral. That's 10 off, donkey. You're going to the donkey. He would at least fire a warning shot when you're heading back to the corral.
Tell you to dance.
Yeah. And every shop teacher, Mr. Gage, Mr. Martin, Mr. Mound, they definitely would have shot me.
Yeah.
So I don't want these guns.
And those were the classes he was good at.
Shop I don't want in the hands of shop or PE teachers.
No. That's a good point. Very good point.
Mrs. Wolk would have been all right. She wore the big shoes with the buckles and the pants.
The Pilgrim?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, comic book legend Stan Lee is watching his fortune disappear, and now police are investigating it as a possible elder abuse situation. The 95-year-old Spider-Man creator noticed $1.5 million disappear from his bank account recently. Checks were apparently forged from his account, and some of the money was used to purchase a condo in Hollywood. A special unit of the LAPD was at Lee's house last Friday to interview him and go through his financial records. Police don't know yet who's been siphoning off the money or if there are multiple parties behind the theft, but they're trying to figure it out.
David, did you have anything to do with that?
No, but I think this is a job for any one of his superheroes. Really. This is when we need them. Yeah. We need bank assistance, man.
Yeah.
Is Stan Lee gotten into some trouble with the Me Too stuff, but he's not anymore?
Wasn't it just like a small dusting of harassment with his caregivers? I thought that was it. I think it's recent. It's not from.
What does that mean? A dusting?
It's just a sprinkling, a skosh.
By the way, you pinch a butt cheek.
A splooch?
Chick's job
that's
is
different.
To,
that's sitting in pudding.
It's
I think
definitely. Yeah. It's so sploshy.
Oh yeah, that's
I love
one.
That.
If their job is to wash your junk with a warm rag, really squeeze on the butt cheek. Where does that land between washing your junk with a warm rag? You know,
as John Rambo would say, they drew first blood.
That's right.
Yeah. They made the first move.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can't wait till I get someone has to clean my diaper again. I just can't wait. Like, again? Come on in. Bring it. You mind if I call you mommy? I'm sorry.
Get all of those drops. Well, managers at a Missouri thrift store are not high on an uptick. I'm sorry, they're high on an uptick of donations, and a lot of the donations they're getting are illegal drugs hiding in the donated items. So workers at Savers Superstore in suburban St. Louis called police twice last week to report illicit drugs tucked into boxes of clothing dropped off by locals. The Crestwood Police Department hit up its social media accounts to tell residents, quote, Savers has made it clear they do not want any of these items. So in the spirit of good gift giving and charity, please remove your drugs before donating your clothing.
Are these people who are high, who are hiding their drugs?
At first I was like, wait, is this a fencing operation? Like you just take the drugs out and sell them out by the dumpster or the Goodwill? Or are they so high they forgot that they left their dime bag in their jeans?
Well, why can't they just be donating extra
drugs?
Or they are hoping people can sell and make even more.
Option.
Someone else in the household. Right. Some guy comes in, he's scratching himself. He's like, anyone drop off a pair
of
very old shoes? Haven't been worn in several years. It's very important to me.
I'm trying to think of stuff that, Matt, you grew up poor, right? Did your parents do the thrift shop business?
We weren't poor the whole time, every other year or so. And yeah, we got stuff from thrift stores and Salvation Army and stuff like that.
My mom did a lot. We did a lot of that too. And I just realized, like, we should have drawn the line. Like, you can get a secondhand pup tent or something, but mugs and shoes and like personal, like flatware and stuff, like stuff people eat off of and then die. And like weird, like shoes is kind of weird. And the most depressing was always games, because you'd get like the game of life, but it'd be missing like four pieces. And you couldn't really. And
that's
it had a
life.
Weird
shade grayer.
Yeah, and everything
darker.
Had a weird cardboard mildew. Yep. Everything smelled like mildew. I don't know exactly what it was. The stuff sat in the garage too long. It's very depressing. I don't like the way those places smell. I like to think of the items you can get and then ones you should never get.
Yeah, we try to stay away from the shoes because of the smell and the color and so forth. We didn't.
And again, the person died who had the shoes possibly in them.
Yeah.
All right, let me tell you about.
I like that, though.
You like that?
I like wearing dead people's clothes.
Oh, really?
I really do, honestly. Like, it's what part of the reason I like vintage clothing.
Uh-huh.
Because it's like you're carrying on their sort of story.
But don't you have to know who they are?
No, I like going to estate sales and finding, like, old men's closets. I don't know why.
You know, we have to look up the Tales of Manhattan. My step-grandfather, who was a writer, wrote on a movie called The Tales of Manhattan, and it was about a tailcoat that, like, passed from a magician to a conductor a businessman, and was sort of like the Woody Allen, whatever. Remember that compilation? Yeah. New York Stories. It was like that, but with a tailcoat.
Oh, yeah, wow. That's what I like about it.
Pass it on. Like, the magician died, and then it went to the conductor.
I might have seen that or something, because it's always stuck
with
me.
What year that is, and I'll see if we can find it.
1942.
1942. Wow. See if you can find a synopsis of that, and I'll tell you before that about something that's a little more... little newer than that. Castrol Edge, designed for consumers who demand the best performance from their cars. Tech advantages have made engines smaller, more powerful, more efficient. Engines today produce pressure up to 10 tons per square centimeter. So you need some good lubrication. The only thing stopping metal on metal contact is a very thin layer of oil. That oil needs to be strong and remain strong and not break down. And that's why you go full synthetic with Castrol Edge. Formulated with fluid titanium technology, 3 times stronger against viscosity breakdown than the leading full synthetic. So, what is this movie? I haven't looked it up in a million years.
It's a blurb. I like the poster. It says, as a formal black jacket gets passed on from person to person, these stories set in New York City follow the lives of the coat's owners. Actor Paul Orman gets involved with the beautiful Ethel, while Diane and George, Henry Fonda, begin a romance in the subsequent story. Oh, and Ginger Rogers. Rita Hayworth. Wow.
Charles Boyer was
Edward
a big
C. Robinson.
Back then, too.
Later, tales focus on...
Paul Robeson.
This looks like a winner.
On an aspiring conductor, Charles Lawton, a homeless man, Edward G. Robinson.
Struggling, but black couple. Yeah. Paul Robeson and Ethel Waters.
Wow.
Progressive.
I'd like to see this.
Does it say anything about Laszlo Gorog riding on that thing?
Laszlo.
That was his name.
Good one.
It's an interesting story, right?
Yeah, definitely.
It's like the earliest traveling pants.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, he's credited for original story and screenplay.
Wow.
Nice, man.
Well, there you go.
Well done.
Tip of the cap to you, Laszlo. All right. What else? One more.
All right. Well, the team behind the Coffee Meets Bagel dating app aren't settling for just getting people together online.
Black people with Jews?
No. It's just a name, and I think it was created by Asians.
Coffee Meets Bagel.
Read between the lines.
A lot of black ladies want to hook up with Jews to really kind of, you know, settle the balance of the checkbook, so to speak.
If coffee bagel is not an interracial black and Jewish thing, then they've dropped the ball. Okay, I'm going to put a pin in that and do some investigating.
Uh-huh.
But instead, they're setting up an actual summer camp for single adults to get them together in real life. So they're going to do, instead of Coffee Meets Bagel, Camp Meets Bagel.
Mm.
It's being touted as an all-exclusive sleepaway camp for adults. It's going to be in upstate New York.
What could go wrong?
Are they ripping ripping off gefilte fish and watermelon?
It sounds like that might be encroaching on some intellectual property.
Yeah.
Territory.
They're going to have to look into that.
You're right.
Because they're not the first guys to think of this.
I think you're right.
Sorry.
How do we sign up for this camp?
Well, I'm going to tell you. The organizers expect...
Wait a minute, I wasn't listening to anything you said now.
Camp Meets Bagel. It's the offshoot of the app Coffee Meets Bagel. All the adults are invited to, who are on the app, the dating app, can go to a summer camp in upstate New York, get together in person. They're expecting about 300 singles. You're going to go water skiing, play dodgeball, costume parties, open bar, all for adults.
Good luck in them Jews and black folks water skiing, because there's one thing I know about those people. They do not water ski.
That's what they'll bond over.
Just a reminder, the water skis are wide open.
The wakeboarders, especially the black ladies, do up their hair and everything and spend all that time with the hair and the Jews. They're no fans of wakeboarding.
That Jew fro is
rough. You got to pick different activities for those people. They don't hit the lake.
I like a little wakeboarding.
Oh, you're Jewish?
Yeah.
Wow. You're a member of the tribe?
Yeah.
You can't even tell. Congratulations. I mean, for Gina, it's like she's got a billboard over
Thank
her yarmulke.
Thank you so much.
For you. Wow.
I am too, guys.
What? Yeah. Oh, too, oh my God. Yeah, look at that. Best day ever.
Guys. This is awesome. Wow.
Surprise.
Do you wakeboard?
Of course.
Oh, my God. I have to go rethink almost everything.
Yeah. Start over.
And I'm black, too. So.
Wow.
Hey, good.
Sorry, you never know. 23 and me, guys. It's really open. I'm 2% Cro-Magnon, too. So there's that.
Thought I knew.
Wow, you think you know a guy.
Is you know, you do the 23andMe thing, we all find out we're part black, and then we all find out our ancestors are that slave owners. Isn't that kind of a push?
Yeah.
Like, maybe they just owned me.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Like, it kind of evens out. It's kind of even out a little bit.
That's right.
Speaking of that, I did get my results back from 23andMe, and it's astounding. Mm-hmm. I'm glad we're all sitting. I was waiting to hear about my Viking roots and my African roots, and I was really, really excited to open this thing up. Turns out I am 97% Ashkenazi Jew.
Yay! No wakeboarding for you.
Why is that a sad sound?
That's
amazing.
I know,
that's
the
except there's like a, you have to watch out who you have a baby with.
Oh, the Tay-Sachs.
Yeah.
Well, and the little, I was like, well, there's still a couple percentage points left. Yeah, I'm a real Jew. Eastern European and broadly European were the things that filled in Ashkenazi Jew.
Wow.
So,
that's amazing.
The real deal.
Did I ever do mine, Max Zapata?
Not to my knowledge, but I'll find out.
I think I did.
So just spit in a vial and send it off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there you go.
Oh, I beat off in it. Some marshals came over to the house.
That'll work.
Wrong fluid.
Collected your computer.
I just see a vial. I'm like, yeah, I get it. I know the dance. I don't have to read the instructions. I've been there. All right, is that it?
That's it.
All right, that's the news. That's Gina Grad.
There you go.
I love that guy called Gecko.
Gina. That was the news with Gina Grad.
Oh, Geico, man. Let's not forget about our good lizard friend, Geico. He's a gecko. Everyone's got the to-do list.
I love that guy called Gecko.
I love that gecko, man. How about you save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance? You don't have to do anything. Just go to Geico. What's that, Brian? Geico.
I love that Geico gecko, though.
Geico.com. 15 minutes. You could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Take that extra money, put it in your pocket, get yourself a wakeboard, man. Go to Geico.com. Geico.com.
I love that Geico gecko, though.
Me, too. All right. Let's see. Sacramento Thunder Valley Casino this Friday.
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to sell out, but you can try. March 2nd. It's coming up. Be doing stand-up there. Oxnard Levity Live coming up. That's March 15th. Madison, Wisconsin, Capitol Theater, April 6th. We'll be stand-up there. Santa Ana Esports Arena. We're doing a live podcast there. That's April 21st. And then Seattle, the Moore Theater. We love the Moore Theater. So beautiful. September 13th. That's attached to the cruise. Rooms just added. So just going from Seattle, Victoria, British Columbia. So check that out. If you will, just go to amcroll.com for all the stuff you need. Survivor's Guide to Prison is the name of the doc. I highly recommend it. You can go out, you can see it in select theaters, or you can see it on Apple TV, Amazon Video, Google Play. So wherever you like, find it, support it. And the Facebook, search Survivor's Guide to Prison. Facebook. Is it search? Is that in the...
No, it's just facebook.com/survivor's guide to prison.
Okay, so don't type in the word search.
Or say it out loud.
Or say it out loud. So, until next time, it's Adam Carolla for David Arquette, Matthew Cook, Gina Grad, and Paul Bryan. Say it. Mahalo.
I can't wait till I get someone has to clean my diaper again.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter @AdamCarollaShow. Follow the Ace Man on the Twitter @AdamCarolla. Subscribe to Take a Knee. You'll get a weekly dose of inspiration and motivation. Just click the link at AdamCarolla.com. Voicemail if you want to leave us a message. It's 888-634-1744. Thunder Valley Casino this Friday night for Not Taco Bell material. And then again, Madison, Wisconsin, Capitol Theater, April 6th with the Ace Man. Tickets and info on all of it. Mangree events, books, movies, and more. Go to AdamCarolla.com.